All right, my friends, we've reached the end of Maseches Horios. B'siyat d'shmaya, we're here in Perek Gimel, Mishneh Ches 3:8, and we're still talking about Hilchos Kadima, prioritization. So here, we're talking more generally. If you have two Jewish men, let's say, and you have to now give, let's say, a kavod to one of them, or get stuck to one of them, or parnas to one of them, or redeem one of them from captivity, or save one who's drowning, whatever it is. So in this scenario, and you have to choose just one, who do you choose? So the basic principle here is going to be, like we said before in the previous Mishnah, that kol ha mekudesh mechavero, kodem es chavero. Whoever is considered to be more kodesh gets priority. Now, for the most part, you know, Jews are considered to be, sort of speak, on the same footing, equal footing. But there's certainly one overriding factor. And therefore, you'll see the Mishnah actually has two separate criteria. The first and most important criterion is their Torah learning. And therefore, if one person is more learned than the other in terms of Talmud Torah, then he gets priority. So the Talmud Chacham always gets priority over the non-Talmud Chacham. But it's not binary in terms of either he is or isn't a Talmud Chacham. The more learned person, if there's clearly one, he gets Kadima, priority. And therefore, for example, Mi'ikar Hadin, really according to the letter of the law, in the shul, who should get the first, you know, the first Aliyah on Shabbos morning? The Talmud Chacham, not the Kohen. However, it's a long-standing custom, for example, in that case, to give the Kohen, and I think it stands to reason because it would make a lot of ill will if you started picking who's the biggest Talmud Chacham in the room. Anyways, so that's a different point. But in principle, that's what the Mishnah is saying here. So therefore, the Mishnah will first list the hierarchy, all things being equal, but then it says if there is one person who's a Talmud Chacham, of course he gets precedence, that's overriding. It says the Mishnah inside, Kohen Kodem LeLevi. A Kohen gets priority over Levi. Shevet Levi already was set aside. The pasuk says Be'esahi Hivdil Hashem Es Shevet HaLevi. It's the pasuk in Devarim. So Shevet Levi set aside. But of course, the Kohanim are a special subset of Shevet Levi. The Bar Tanura sees no reason to even bring a pasuk for this. I'm assuming because he understands the Kohanim have many more mitzvahs than Levim, and therefore they have more kedusha. Although other Mefarshim do bring a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, which says Bnei Amram Aaron Moshe V'Badel Aharon Lahakdisho. Kodesh Kadashim Hu Uvanav Adolam. So the Aaron HaKohen and his children were set aside to be Lakdisha Kodesh Kadashim, to be sanctified Adolam forever. So they are special Kedusha, and therefore they get Kadima priority based on the Pasuk and Divrei Hayam according to some Mefarshim. Further says the Mishnah, Levi Li Yisrael. Like I said before, the Levium were set aside as a special Shevet, and therefore someone from Shevet Levi gets priority over someone who's a regular Yisrael, a non-Levi Jew. Yisrael l'mamzer, if you have a choice in a regular Jew and a mamzer is the child of an illicit union for which the penalty is karas. So that we're talking things like adultery and incest. So a child from that marriage is a mamzer. He is not allowed to marry into the main population of Jewish people. Therefore, he's considered to have less kedusha in that sense. In all other ways, the mamzer is like a full-blown regular Jew, but in that sense, he is diminished, therefore he has less kedusha, so he would get less priority. I'm worth pointing out, of course, that the union that involves a nida, even though there is an isser karas, so the sleeping with a woman who's a nida, nevertheless, that child is not a mamzer. And if you have a mamzer and a nasin, the mamzer gets kadima. The nasinim were the descendants of those Giv'onim, that Canaanite tribe that tricked Yehoshua, making Yehoshua and the Jews think they'd come from far away, when in fact they were a Canaanite tribe. They're supposed to get annulled, but they were annihilated by the Jews, but they were tricked. And Yehoshua made a pact with them, so as not to make Chil Hashem, he let them stay. They end up converting to being Jewish, but they showed, in the time of David HaMelech, like great achzariyut, cruelty, and it was already decided from then that they may never marry into the main Jewish people. So here you have Nesinim, essentially are Jews, like Mamzerim, and they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, main population, like Mamzerim, but their origins are from the Canaanite tribes, not Jewish tribes, and therefore they're lower down than a Mamzer, so the Nasin is lower. V'nasin l'ger, a good old-fashioned convert, even though, if you ask me, every convert deserves a big gold medal, what more could you ask for the human being than coming so far and actually converting to being Jewish? Nevertheless, in terms of Kedusha, the ger started out and for part of the life was not Jewish soul, doesn't come from origin, Jewish origin, and therefore, at least compared to a non-convert Jew, so there's some element of Kedusha that they're lacking. A Nasin is similar, but remember, the Nasinim were Jewish for many generations, so given Nasin, both his parents are full-blown Jews, whereas the Ger, his parents are not full-blown Jews. So again, although, God forbid, there's mitzvah d'oraisa to not oppress a convert, to the contrary, you should go out of your way to give every convert you know a pat on the back and do whatever you can for them to make them feel comfortable, and not designate them as converts per se. In any case, if it comes to this situation, this triage situation, so the regular Jew or the Nasin gets priority over the Ger, the convert. The Ger, Le'evid HaMeshuchrar. An Eved Meshuchrar is a slave who has been emancipated. The rule is that if a Jew acquires a slave, so that slave has to essentially sort of convert to being Jewish. That means if it's a man, nope, you'll have both circumcision and the immersion in the mikvah. And a Jewish, a Jew's slave must essentially, you know, keeps kosher, keeps Shabbos. He has all the mitzvahs that a regular Jewish woman has. That's essentially everything. He just doesn't put on tefillin and the like. You know, mitzvahs such as mangrama. So an Eved who is not a Meshuchrar, who is not emancipated, so he is definitely not a Jew. He's like, I call it a quasi-Jew. He's keeping Shabbos and the like, but he's a quasi-Jew. That'll put him certainly, you know, he's essentially owned. However, since all that stands between him and being a regular Jew, if you will, is that he is owned by a human being. So if that layer that separates between, you know, his ultimate master in Shemayim, Hashem, if there's a human flesh and blood master, the owner of the Eved in the middle, if the flesh and blood master emancipates his slave, so he now is out of the equation, now the slave has no one left of him but Hashem, and therefore essentially the Eved Meshuchrar, the emancipated, the freed slave, becomes essentially a convert. It's essentially a conversion through the back door, right? He started out being born non-Jewish. He essentially gets like naturalized to the Jewish people in as much as he goes to the mikvah, maybe circumcision if it's a man, and he keeps mitzvahs. He accepts Hashem, and if he doesn't, by the way, he's got to be let go, returned back. You can't keep a non-observant Eved in your household as a Jew. In any case, once he's Meshuchrar, he's free to become a Jew through the back door, if you will, and he's a full-blown Jew, but still the Eved is like, if you have to, in terms of Kadima and Kedusha, you know, he's lower down even than a regular convert who chose to convert. And the reason why is because there's a separate pasuk which says anyone who starts out as an Eved is Arur, is like accursed. The situation of being an Eved and owned by somebody else, God forbid, is intrinsically Arur. It's accursed. You have no lineage after you and so on. And therefore, if you have to decide who gets prioritized, the Ger or the Eved, the Ger comes first. And all those things, that's again, Emasai, when is it true? Bizman Shekulin Shavin. That means if everything is equal and they're in equal footing. Aval, however, Imhaya Mamzer Tamil Chacham the Kohen Gadol Ama Arts. If you have, we said Kohen is first, so they say the Kohen Gadol, he's the top of the pile, but he's an Am HaAretz, he's unlearned. And then you have a Mamzer, who's a Jew, but he is essentially, so he's the bottom of the pile, if you will, socially speaking, but he is a Talmud Chacham. So then, Mamzer Talmud Chacham Kodum LeKohen Gadol Am HaAretz. The priority in all these things, in giving honor, in giving tzedakah, in giving parnasa, in pidyon shvuyim, in saving them from the fire, in returning the lost object, in inviting them to get an aliyah, all that stuff, the Mamzer Talmud Chacham gets prioritized over the Kohen Gadol if he's an Am HaAretz. And if you'll ask the question, what about people who are even lower down in the totem pole than the Mamzerim, both the Nesinim and the Gerim and the Avadim Meshuchrarim? The answer is, yes, those two. If you have an Eved Meshuchrar and he is a Talmud Chacham, so then, God bless him, he's the top of the pile. The thing is that the Mishnah is assuming that people who start late in life as a Jew, meaning a Ger and an Eved, are unlikely to become Talmud Chachamim, therefore the Mishnah can talk about those unlikely scenarios. But if it happens, God bless them that it happened, and then indeed your Ger, who is Talmud Chacham, gets Kadima, gets prioritized over even your Kohen Gadol, who's an Am HaAretz. And with that, B'siyat Teshmaya, we finish Meseches Horios, and more than that, we actually finish all of Seder Nezikin. So therefore, Hadran L'Seder Nezikin, and Baruch Hashem, we will now move on. The next is Seder Kodshim, and the first Masechta of Seder Kodshim is Zvachim.